Finally, some readings I'd like to preach on this fall, but not to be today. We're going to have a synod report. This past few days, there have been many from this parish, some delegates, some observers, some helping with various booths and displays, who've been gathered together with other members of our diocese. As I'm introducing, I'd invite Jill and Kathleen and Bev to come forward, and they're going to share some of their reflections with you. Synod is the business meeting, essentially, of our diocese, which is a large geographical area, and gathered together are representatives from every parish for 3 days. We have three synod delegates, two clergy, and a couple of other people in the congregation who are bishop's appointees were there as well. So we had a full table, more than a full table, of St. John's folks at the actual synod. There's a Eucharist on the Thursday night at Christ Church Cathedral, at which the bishop speaks, and then we gather on Friday and Saturday, Friday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Saturday from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. So it's been a long few days. If we all look a little pale and tired, there's a reason for that. There are 70 clergy and, close to 200 lay people, so quite a number of folks. And it is our opportunity to gather, to worship together, to pray together, to hear about the works of our diocese, and to make some decisions for the coming years. So these folks have prepared their reflections for you, so I'm going to sit down and let them speak.
Good morning, everyone. Full disclosure at the outset, I am a Cradle United Church person. So my life at St. John's in the Anglican Church is relatively new. And I have been in Ottawa less than 3 years. And at St. John's, in terms of my membership in choir, probably a little bit less than two. And a new deputy warden about 6 months. So I am a relative newcomer to Ottawa and St. John's Parish. And in my very new role as the deputy warden, Synod Weekend was an opportunity for me to develop a better understanding, of not only Anglican Church governance at the diocesan level, but the Ottawa Diocese's rich Anglican culture of faith and service in an ever-changing society. In particular, I learned much more about the diocese's respect for, commitment to, and true engagement in the process of reconciliation, and it touched my heart. First, the plenary address given by Albert Dumont, spiritual teacher in residence at the cathedral, spoke the hard truths about mistreatment and shame and the harm done to First Nations people, and about what still needs to be done to move forward. Then it was inspiring to hear the report given by members of the All My Relations Committee and its commitment to teaching and promoting the rich history and culture of Indigenous people. Then to learn of their gift of beautiful ceramic feathers to each parish, a tangible representation of the reconciliation journey and a very special recognition of the Ottawa Diocese's commitment toward reconciliation. All of the most impressive synod presentations and reports outlined the ways in which, through ministries and other initiatives, the diocese strives to provide care and meet the needs of many individuals and communities as it evolves to meet changing needs. From its refugee ministries to providing affordable housing, to address homelessness, to supporting the traditions and needs of area parishes in practical and spiritual ways, all with compassion and realistic and humane solutions. One of the most moving moments for me came yesterday. I think it was just before lunch. I'm not sure why that really is relevant, but anyway, it was fairly on into our Synod weekend after many presentations and much discussion. When Bishop John mused in what seemed to be a casual way, just in his tone. And I had never met Bishop John before. I was not used to hearing him speak, noting his manner, seeing his love in action for the diocese. So I was so taken with the understated way, I guess that's probably the best word, the understated way in which he spoke these words that were so poignant. He said, "We are not inclined to move into change unless we know what it looks like and what it costs. So we pray, then we do the best we can, trusting that God will not desert us. And as we begin to see what the change will look like, we step out, and powered by faithful hearts, we stride forward anyway." So, along with all kinds of information new to me about the amazing work of the diocese, my big takeaway from my first synod is this: the Anglican Diocese of Ottawa is an ever-changing and growing body that is most definitely powered by faithful hearts as its people strive forward to do their best to meet the needs of many in our changing world. Thank you.
So this is quite a weekend for me. First the synod, my first synod, and first time being an acolyte, so it's all a little bit daunting. However, I'll begin with the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few, from Matthew 9, verse 37. This phrase was frequently repeated and served as a cornerstone to the synod gathering. But after two very intensive days of listening to numerous individuals talking about their work, I came away amazed by all that is going on in the Anglican Diocese of Ottawa. I was impressed by Canon Sue Garvey's good news stories in the diocese about the need to provide a safe place to tell our stories and to evolve as our communities change. Albert Dumont, Algonquin spiritual teacher in residence at the cathedral, told us his own backstory. And he told us that he rejects hate. He rejects hate because it destroys the person, a city, a country, and he does not believe in hate. He told the story of carrying the rock, which made us all think about our own lives and the pain we inflict or we carry. The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. I was amazed by the commitment of the individuals who have devoted so much of their time to helping others. In no particular order, the work of All My Relations Working Group, the Homelessness and Affordable Housing Working Group, the Refugee Ministry Development Task Force, PWRDF, and the new endeavors that are proving to be so successful. Center 105 in Cornwall, YIP, the Youth Internship Program, and the area parishes gathering together so that they can sustain themselves in troubling times. The three workshops led by members of the Christian Education Committee proved to be very popular. One example is the one I attended on fundraising beyond the bake sale. There we were introduced to new ways of raising money and then broke up into small groups to learn from each other. But in the end, there were two major takeaways for me. First, the willingness of so many individuals to help other parishes start new endeavors, to share their resources, their time, and their ideas. And secondly, and probably most important, the involvement of so many of our own parishioners in many of the endeavors mentioned already. Jane Maxwell for PWRDF, Monica Patton's involvement, Embracing God's Future, Peggy Lister's, a member of the Refugee Ministry Review Task Force. In the end, it turned out to be a remarkable 2 days.
Good morning, I'm Kathleen Epsonneau, and unlike Bev, I've been a member of St. John's for a long time. Next month, it'll be 28 years. So I'm familiar with the internal workings of our parish, our successes and our challenges. But attending Synod allowed me to look outward at what is happening near and far within the diocese, at the successes and challenges facing urban parishes and rural parishes. I was amazed by the work being done by our community ministries, which were mentioned before, including The Well. We heard presentations by the Reverend Monique Stone from Julian of Norwich, whose project includes the building of 135 affordable housing units, and by the Reverend Catherine Otley of Christ Church Bell's Corners, or CCBC, as it's known, where 35 affordable housing units will be built. Not even talking about the amazing work of the Refugee Committee that we're more familiar with. What is being done in those ministries and those projects is church. Although most of the focus of our community ministries takes place around Ottawa, it was good to hear of the success of Center 103 in Cornwall, that was also mentioned. It's a new drop-in center that serves breakfast to about 40 to 50 people every day. But now they've complained because it's so well used that their equipment is breaking down. Dishwashers, refrigerators. One of the pleasures I had was of talking to some parishioners of the Parish of the Valley. I don't know if people have heard of it, I hadn't. This new area parish is made up of 15 congregations worshiping in the valleys of Ottawa, Bonnechere, and Madawaska rivers in places I never heard about. Clontarf, Alice, Tremor, Mixburg, Beechburg, not very far from here. A few of these places are considered chapels, where services are held maybe once or twice a year. The workshops that I attended on that afternoon was, the first one was having difficult conversations, boundaries, behaviors, and bullies. Hard to imagine that happens in the church. The other one was managing change instead of letting change manage you. Each workshop provided suggestions for dealing with situations that arise in basically every parish. They suggested developing an email policy and how to prepare for a difficult conversation. We were even given a formula for managing change, but I won't get into that. During breaks, I visited the display area where about 25 organizations were represented, where our own Vicki Mills was there for the Sisters of St. John the Divine, Gay Richardson for Multi-Faith Housing Initiative, and Jane Maxwell for the PWRDF, who also made a really good presentation, including an interesting video celebrating the 60th anniversary of PWRDF. Although we spent a lot of time sitting and listening, I was uplifted by what I heard, and I was proud to be part of the Anglican Diocese of Ottawa. I look forward to participating in the election of our new bishop next March. Normally, the bishop gives a charge, but he said that because he's retiring, he didn't feel that it was up to him to impose something on the next bishop. But he did leave us with a prayer that I would like to read. And he was referring to biblical friends that had been mentors to him, and he hoped that they could also help us in our walk. So his prayer was that we walk with Abraham, knowing God is with us on our journey, to fight with Deborah for the marginalized, to remember Moses as we stepped out of church every Sunday and gaze on the promised land of Jesus, to think of Mary and show the world our love of Jesus, and to embrace Tabitha and not be afraid of death, remembering there is always resurrection. Thank you.
I want to say thank you. As you can hear, as you can see, we were very well represented in our three delegates, and all those others from St. John's who were there. And so on our behalf, I want to thank all of you and Carolyn and everyone else who was at Synod. There's a lot of ministry going on in our diocese, and if you ever have an opportunity to go to Synod, you can go as an observer or to take part in some of the activities. It really is a moving experience. And the last thing I want to say is that Kathleen mentioned our bishop is retiring, and we will be gathered next as a synod on March 14th to elect a new bishop. And Bishop John did not know, but at the end of synod, he got up, and Bishop John loves synod. He loves the gathering and the celebrating of our ministry together. And so he got up to say that at the very end, and of course he could no longer speak. He was in tears. And lay secretary of synod brought Catherine, his wife, up, and a lovely presentation was made of the gift of a gift certificate for two nights at the Wakefield Mill next October, the nights of synod. So that will be a wonderful distraction, I hope, for them next year. Anyhow, thank you for letting us share this with you. I think it's really important that the parish look beyond the walls, as you said, and remember that we are part of a larger church where much is happening and where there is much love of God being shown to our world. Thank you.